your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
I mean, you know, that was a pretty interesting segment talking about what's going on and how the IT is starting to really affect, I would have to say, evidence gathering for subjects on the internet. We're going to stay on that right now, but before we do, I want to ask your opinion about somebody, Jim. Dr. Robert Malone, I'm seeing more and more of him on the internet, and I'm pretty impressed. What do you think?
Yeah, so Dr. Robert Malone, he was a researcher. I think he was at University of California, Davis, in the late 80s, had actually identified the mRNA technologies and did some work and some patenting to develop the initial stages of what could be done with mRNA.
Yeah.
Now, he's come out and very concerned with the possible damages that can be done with this technology and the potential negative impacts that it has on people.
Yeah.
However, and he came out very early when they were developing these vaccines. He was not derogatory about them, but he was just trying to explain the possibilities of what could go wrong, and he was censored heavily. Basically,
he talked about possibilities.
Yes, and one of the key initial researchers in the development of this technology, he was attacked. He was attacked by pharmaceutical companies. He was attacked by the government. He was silenced by big tech companies.
Uh-huh.
And to the point where Wikipedia actually scrubbed information on his original patents and research into mRNA, trying to discredit him. Now, since then, he's been a very vocal voice. He has not backed down. He puts out a daily newsletter. I think it's daily, if not multiple times a week, that provides information on the latest bits of knowledge on not only vaccinations, on COVID, but also on other social and scientific issues out there in the world. And he does have a very big following. So he's getting more and more attention. Now that some of the things that he had warned about are appearing to be true, he's getting listened to a lot more. And in fact, he's been a speaker at some of the hearings that Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has held. And of course, you know, very knowledgeable guy on this subject. So someone that we should have been listening to and should never have silenced.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that he got cut initially at the beginning, but I'm not surprised at what's going on. It's pretty obvious to me that COVID is a pretty hot subject right now, and it seems to me like the powers that be really aren't telling everything about COVID that we should know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that the science representatives from the U.S. government have pushed agendas that I think some are beginning to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
I think the influence from the senior members of former FDA commissioners, say Scott Gottlieb, who now is on the board of Pfizer, some of these different influences that went from the government directly over into the pharmaceutical industry have influenced the decision making. And of course, there's phenomenal amounts of money being made on all these issues. And that's incredibly dangerous when you combine government and very influential lobbyists and big corporations in these public private partnerships, and the government loses focus on taking care of people.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we're seeing right now with the entire COVID situation from the beginning.
Pretty interesting. I mean, you know, if the government wants to keep that information away from us, it must be pretty dangerous. And it sure isn't turning out to be that way.
Well, I mean, it is.
No, well, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's turning out to be incredibly dangerous, and I think it's going to be dangerous for many people's careers if the full truth is put forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully there will be not only investigations, but also accountability where people actually look and tell some of these people that are involved in silencing, censoring legitimate scientists and legitimate questions on these issues, and government officials go to jail for doing that, it's going to continue to happen. And that's where we have to see a change right now.
How do you think this silencing, for lack of better terms, is going to affect long-term Anthony Fauci?
Well, ideally, I mean, he's used a lot of little nuanced issues to try to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if he funded gain-of-function research and used all these methods and lies and tools to kind of cover that up,
yeah.
and it was ultimately found that the Wuhan lab started this based on gain-of-function research,
yeah.
I mean, he should go down in history as one of the most despised men in the world.
I would think so.
And at this point, I don't know if there's any way he's going to be recovered, but ultimately, I think someone like that should be held accountable,
especially for
silencing right. voices. And he and Francis Collins, the former NIH director, went out of their way to silence very experienced and very qualified epidemiologists and doctors from stating their concerns about this push on vaccinations and on the response to the COVID pandemic overall.
Would you say the push on vaccinations, I mean, sure, it's one thing, it's pretty extraordinary, but wouldn't you say it's a little bit overkill, perhaps? I mean, they terrified. My experience, looking at my kids and talking to them, my kids were terrified. They never let their children out of the house. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. Look what it did to the kids in school. I think it was a little bit of overkill, Jim. How about you?
Oh, there's no question, and it continues to be overkill. In fact, now that we know that young people, and we've known for a long time, really since 2020, late summer 2020, that this did not impact young people, and actually forcing and approving vaccinations and boosters
yeah.
for the young, and then intimidating people and forcing them, scaring them and intimidating into taking these vaccinations when you don't know the long-term effects of it, in my view, it's criminal. It's criminal.
Yeah,
and I think it's incredibly
right.
interesting. And they're still pushing it.
That.
They're still pushing them,
yeah.
Which I think is a huge, huge mistake.
Well, I remember somebody in our book club brought a copy of a book that was written by actually a physician, and he said purely and simply, the book was probably 250 pages long, and they all boil down to one thing. There's really a major problem for older people, and for particularly for older people who are sick. There's a major problem for people who are older and obese. There's no problem for kids, and I would have to say, being generous, there's probably no problem for the population if they're under the age, if they're not over the age, I guess I should say, of about 65.
Well, and it looks like that this is just, that it was the same danger you'd have from pneumonia, actually
yeah.
even less of danger from pneumonia,
right.
which is what this whole disease evolves into. It's like a very bad flu season.
Yeah.
But of course, now we've seen that, in fact, some of the impacts of these vaccinations reduce people's immune capabilities. And so, yeah, you should have been targeting the
yeah.
population.
No, I mean, for sure. Yeah. Jimmy, we're at the break. We got to take a break for the news, and we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.